northern part of India. And when I was talking to him, he had a picture. He had a couple of on silk,
right,
hanging behind his desk, and I admired him when I got through my interview. And he said, that has an interesting story. He said, I was a young man. I was stationed in the northern part of India. Right. That in those days, it was sort of unknown, unfrequented. And he said, he had occasion to go up toward Tibet. He made a journey up toward Tibet. And he said that he visited a temple. And this temple had, every time the Tibetans would come down and overrun, they'd grab the temple and they'd decorate it their way. Then the Indians would push them back, or the southern tribes would push them back, and then they'd seize the temple and they put it, there were 7 coats of paint, I think it was, each depicting the religious observances of their time.
Right.
And they peeled off these 6 or 8 coatings. When they got down to it, it was mosaic on the wall. They were mosaic depicting the creation of the earth according to the Old Testament.
That's really
sad. He was creating the, now they tried to figure out how this happened.
Right.
And his theory was, and it seemed to be confirmed, I've talked to other people about it, it seems that maybe some of these old, in ancient times, biblical times, travelers, Jewish travelers,
right,
went up into China,
right,
and
that
made,
we know
they,
about, right,
they founded little settlements in China, and somebody followed the route of Genghis Khan and
right,
went across northern Asia,
right,
and founded a place there where this temple was, and they finally got wiped out probably by the Boers, and they kept the temple, but they didn't keep the. And it must have been somebody up there. How it ever got up there, nobody knows. But it was told the whole story of creation. And a mosaic, it's gorgeous.
That's really fascinating.
I think that people, if you get around Jewish people, if they get around and behave themselves, they can command a lot of respect among people,
mm-hmm,
and do a lot more for their religion than all the other things in the world. I remember a number of years ago, they wanted me to go to Washington about some kind of thing, a religious thing, a Jewish religious thing. And they talked to me about it, and I wouldn't go. I said, no. I said, I don't approve of having these groups go down to Washington to try to pressure. I happen to know the congressman extremely well enough to call him by his first name.
Right.
And I said, I can do you more good if I sit here and just talk to K.O. about it,
right,
and tell him what I want, and I'll do you a lot more good than all the trips to Washington, these hordes. And I think that you got to use a lot of tact in some of these things. You just can't, you just can't barge in and I don't believe in having lobbyists. It's all right to have lobbyists, I don't blame for that, but I think that individuals can do a lot more frequently than lobbyists do. I think some of the demonstrations they have about the treatment of Jews in Russia.
Right.
I think that's all, some of it's a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't bother to annoy Brezhnev or anybody else. You can make it, you work through your president. Let him approach the subject and say they don't consider it good treatment. You understand what I mean?
I understand what you're saying. Well, it's interesting that you make that point, because in the early years of your life, at least from what I know, this is all I know from history, there was an attempt, and I guess it was during the time that, I guess it was Taft was the president, when the Russians were doing something to the Jews, and there was some kind of trade agreement, and Louis Marshall and some of the others.
And there's where you get there where you get results.
Right. And I forgot exactly what they did.
That's correct. I remember
But they did
that.
Something, and
That's
they
right.
prevented a treaty.
That's right.
Right. But there they worked actually through the diplomatic
that's
channels.
That's different. That I think that's right. I don't get to that. But I think that having a group go down there and raise a lot of hell, I think that's ridiculous.
Well, what I'm going to ask you to be a prophet for a second. What do you think is going to happen to the Jewish community here in America? Do you think that this problem, I won't use it, the situation is happening where a lot of Jews are marrying out of the faith. Do you think this is going to
I think it's unfortunate. Every day that happens, I see it, a lot of them. And I think it hurts the Jews, of course. But I think the future of Judaism in America is, like Israel Zangwill said, it's a melting pot. They're going to, and I don't know how you can stop intermarriage. And you can't stop the blacks from the whites from marrying. You've got the same situation going on. Here you have an Africa apartheid.
Right.
A handful of whites dominate about 5 million blacks. No, that can't exist, that's all.
Right.
That's ridiculous.
Right.
So what they better do is make peace with the black
right.
and try to survive
right.
and work it out in an amicable way. But trying to hold the blacks down is never going to work. They're too numerous. Now, that's not my theory. That's ornithology.
Right.
It's the same thing. It's bound to be mixing, and it may take time, but in time it'll come. That's the only thing you can do. Apathy will not work. You've got, for instance, during the World War, they sent over a battalion to England, stevedores.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe probably about 500 of them.
Right.
And they put them in a camp. And these English girls were crazy for these colored boys. And all of them had black babies with them. And they couldn't stop it. And today, when England was laughing at the United States with our black problem,
right.
they've got the same problem right there in England. And they got a lot of it because they had charge of West Indies, and all the West Indians were natives of England, according to their theory.
Right, yeah.
And a lot of West Indians have gone to England and living there, and they got acceptance and marry white girls. So you see, they have a tremendous problem, not only in the United States. I think the same thing is true in Africa. I remember when I was a boy, we raised, I used to say stamps, like it's everybody did.
Right.
Had a stamp album.
Right.
In Africa, there are only four or five countries, that's all four or five places. Morocco and Rhodesia, a couple of others. Today, you know how many republics there are in Africa? I bet there's 50.
At least.
That's a guess, but I bet there's 50. When my daughter was studying for a PhD, I was there one time and she was going through some of the geography, and I used to hear it. And by George, there were more republics in Africa than I ever heard tell of. And she could call off the names and what type of republic they were and the whole business. She knew it by heart. I never knew there were so many places. Uganda.
Right.
All these different places. Just completely unknown. See, a lot of these people don't have any sort of cultural background. And I think that's where the blacks suffer. They have very little cultural background. But after some of them get educated a little bit and acquire a background, they go back. about things differently. I know colored fellow. In fact, I have 2 or 3 colored clients. They deplore the fact that they don't have any cultural background.
Right.
And they immediately start to look down on their own people,
right,
who lack a cultural background. They don't have any ambition to acquire it.
Well, wouldn't you say that would be the basic difference between the Jewish people and, I would have to say, all the rest of the other people? I mean, you made the point, I think, well, when you're talking about your father and his friends, that the Jews always took care of their own.
I think there's no doubt about
right.
that.
And I personally don't know that of any other people
that have done
that.
Well.
Have done that. You know, there was really been concerned about their own.
I think that among the black, frankly, today, when they see another black get up a little bit in the world, they maybe get jealous of him. They want to pull him back in hand of the herd where they were. Instead of being, all my life, I've been, of course, in law, I meet people, and they rent a building to a tenant.
Right.
Then if the tenant seems to get along all right, they're sort of jealous of him. I say, that's the most ridiculous thing. How can he pay his rent and that he's successful?
Right.
And you ought to welcome him, that he is getting along.
Let me just ask you one other question. How much longer after your father passed away did your mother live? Did she live?
Oh, she lived about 12, 15 years.
Oh, she did?
Yeah.
Right.
She lived quite a long while.
She continued to live here in Wilmington?
Oh, yeah. She lived at 705 West. You know, the house.
Oh, she stayed in the house.
Oh, yeah. She stayed there, but she died. Right. She died.
Right.
I kept the house for a while, and then I fairly too expensive to keep.
Right.
See, a lot of the stuff that you see downstairs,
right,
come from my home. This came from my home, though. That little picture, that's
right.
Nothing. But all those vases up there, those cloisonné vases, Chinese vases, came from my home. The big gardeniers downstairs all came. The big clock came from my home.
Oh, yeah?
We had a nice home. Very good home. Had about 11 or 12 rooms. We had shower baths. I mean, we lived right. The Liberman's the same thing. They lived a square up in the block above us. They lived in the 800 block. We lived in the 700 block.
Well, okay. I appreciate this very much.